This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, rolling with Zach Wilczek for the next few days while Corey is on vacation. Now, if you're a glutton for punishment and you want to talk about the Mavs 76ers game, we can do that. In fact, go ahead, if you can, and give me cut number one, please.
With this guy coming up to Philly, Quentin Grimes. Really tough shot, and it goes for Qdot.
There you go. We talked about it. The Mavericks lost to the 76ers 130 to 125, and Quentin Grimes had 28 points. Man, I don't know where he came from, but that guy's been playing really well.
Yeah, this Quentin Grimes, I wonder if you could trade for him.
Yeah, you probably could. Or you could probably trade for somebody who is still struggling to get healthy.
Oh, who would that be?
That would be exactly what we did with Caleb Martin. By the way, in the month of March, Quentin Grimes averaging a robust 26.4 points per game on 53.5% shooting to go along with 4.5 rebounds and 4.5 assists per game. Oh, and 2 steals per game, in case you wanted to know that. So, that happened. We don't need to talk about that game anymore. Don't care. What I do care about, unless you do care.
No, I don't.
I'm not misreading
this, I didn't watch
this,
a single
right?
second yeah, of it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just so over it.
Okay, so there you go. So what I really wanted to talk about is I was fascinated by this statement from PJ Washington. And I kind of get where he's going with this. He said he's sick and tired of hearing all of the comments. You saw on the video board, somebody got shown and they started mouthing fire Nico.
Right.
And PJ Washington said, at the end of the day, trades happen. The trades happened. We understand we have a new team now. All that fire Nico stuff, we're just sick and tired of hearing it. We just want to go out and play and for the fans to support us. I'm not saying that the trade was good. It was horrible. Obviously, the ensuing Grimes trade has not been looking very, very well. But PJ Washington and the players who were still on the team, they didn't make that trade.
No.
So what do you think about this concept? And do you think fans will buy into it and be like, all right, PJ Washington's been our guy for a minute. I know not a really long time, but let's support the team and put aside how much we hate everything that's been done to them this year.
I think the fans that can put it aside already have and are supporting the team because it's not their fault. But they're still angry with Nico. I think this is the difference between a player mentality where I still have a job to do and a fan who has attachment to Luka Doncic. And if you've grown up a Dallas Maverick fan like I have, and it was really, okay, when I was conscious and able to really understand what's going on, it's Dirk, it's Finley, it's Nash, and I grow up with Dirk. And then you seamlessly are able to pass the baton over to Luka Doncic. And it's Mark Cuban that's built this thing on loyalty and value. And we don't, you know, one superstar player is enough for us. We're going to build around him, and we're going to win it the right way. win it the hard way. We're not going to try and microwave a championship necessarily, right? So from a player's perspective, I totally understand why even Max Christie is saying on the Fire Nico chants, definitely not pleasant to hear. We're professionals, and our job is to come out here and perform regardless of the circumstance that we're in. End quote. He's right. That is. But the fans are hurting, and I don't think it's that easy to be able to just turn the page and move on.
And Dirk is all of us, right? Dirk is one of the greatest athletes, if not the absolute greatest athlete in the history of the Metroplex, not just because of how good he was, but how appreciated and how active he was in the community. And even he threw out a few things that I was like, sure. He did the podcast, sit down with his sister for YouTube, and he said about the Luka trade, I was shocked too. Yeah, that's a good word for it. We're on a family trip, had been in Europe for a long time, even in winter, then traveled through Asia for a bit. Feels like a brag. At the end of the, I'm just kidding. I'm
hey,
kidding.
Look at me. I'm just kidding.
We're in the Maldives, just relaxing on the beach. It was literally the last day. I was in my room about to pack my things up. Then suddenly my phone exploded with calls and messages from all over the world. I went on Twitter, read the news, and at first I was shocked like everyone else. I don't think anyone saw it coming. And then eventually he goes, we were supposed to have a quick lunch before we're flying out. Instead, I sat in my room for an hour scrolling through X trying to figure out if it was real. Some people were trying to say the entire trade was fake and that Sham's account had been hacked. It took a few minutes before it was verified. Then I just followed all the reactions. Every player was posting something about it. Then he said he texted Luka, and he goes, at first he didn't reply. He was probably a bit overwhelmed. And he goes, you would say in English, he had a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then he said a day later, he finally responded, I think he was pretty emotional. Didn't see it coming at all. And that feels like it speaks for every single person in the Metroplex who is a Mavs fan. What did you do when you found out the news? Did you interact with other people who weren't immediately next to you? Or did you just scroll through Twitter to be like, no, that's not, no, that's
not real. This isn't real.
Or did you just stare off into a void of nothingness and try to figure out what the hell was going on? Because I feel like that's where we all were.
I was in a glass case of emotion, and I had nobody that I could bounce my thoughts off of. I had to wake my wife up when I found out at 4 a.m., and she told me to shut up and go back to sleep. Nobody cares.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's because she didn't care.
Then did you go, everybody on my sports show is going to care?
Everybody cared. And immediately I was texting around, and some of my friends were also awake, and they'd seen the news and couldn't go back to sleep afterwards.
And so then the question becomes, can you support the team while still not liking and maybe in fact hating all of this? So to go with that, I've got some feedback and then we'll dive into it. From the 561, trade AD, fire Nico, apologize to Mavs fans and shut up about Kobe for 5 minutes. All right. That last one definitely seems doable. You know, trade Anthony Davis. He's working out with the legends today, so potentially
the return.
We're getting closer.
Playing, baby. The run to the championship starts now.
Stop what you're doing. From all the right. 940, Nico can get fired too. And this is something that Mike brought up a while back. I'm not disputing that obviously that can happen. And that fixes what? So let's say Nico gets fired. You don't get the player back. Your team is still in disarray. And I don't know if that makes anybody feel better. It's the third one. Apologize to Mavs fans. Now, who do you want that apology to come from? Is it Dumont? Is it Nico? By the way, tomorrow morning, assuming that Sean and RJ do not edit the heck out of this Bobby Belt piece about the Dallas Mavericks.
Incredible.
I don't know what time it's going to happen yet. And I don't know if he's going to get the whole thing cleared. But if he does, it is phenomenal. It is very, very funny.
Hilarious.
But who do you need the apology from? Like, is there somebody that could apologize to you and you'd be like, okay, now I can start to move forward? Or you'd be like, I thought I'd feel better, but I'm still mad.
I don't think an apology even does it justice.
You're probably right about that.
That's the thing. It's like you can't escape it. You're constantly, and the people that are like, why are you still talking about this? You need to move on. It's not that easy. And honestly, as time has gone on, I have just become more angry and frustrated by it all because you're constantly reminded. You see Luka just absolutely making Kevin Durant look silly and go for 30 points and crush the Phoenix Suns again. We're going to talk about this in a month or so when he comes back to Dallas and he plays back in the American Airlines Center, and everyone's going to show up with their 77 Maverick jerseys, and we have to relive this all again. And that's going to happen every year. There's no way to escape it unless he were to say, okay, if you fire Nico, and Nico steps aside and says, I've made a terrible mistake, and then Luka leaves in free agency and rejoins the Mavericks. Unless somehow you get him back in a Maverick jersey, I don't think there's anything anybody can say, even if it's an apology, even if it's Nico saying, guys, I was dead balls wrong on this. Like, maybe that would do a little bit to help, but overall, it's still not going to solve the constant reminder, which is seeing Luka Doncic in a Laker jersey, and they've got a great chance to make the finals this year. Like, the West is so weak right now. If you still had Luka, and I don't believe Kyrie gets hurt, I do think there was a lot to do with his usage rate.
Okay.
And I think there was a lot to do with that play. A lot of things would be very, very different with Luka playing on this team and the way that that whole thing happened with Kyrie. I do think in an alternate reality, if you still have Luka, that trade never happens. You've still got Kai. And if you're still projecting, okay, we get Derek Lively back and Gafford back, this team is still in position to make a run to the finals.
How does Patrick Dumont not go and buy out every interview he did at the beginning of this trade cycle? Because I know last week y'all were talking about it in the first segment, and it was for an interview that had just come out. But he had done like a month ago, and you'd think surely he wouldn't say all that same nonsense now, but I don't know if that's the case. If there's any other bit of pre-existing footage or discussion of him talking about this trade, he needs to go find it and buy it up, because the more he talks, the more people seem to get mad about all of this.
So I made this comparison on G-Bag last week, but I was like, who does this Dumont guy remind me of? And at first, it was the villain in the Puss in Boots sequel, who I can't remember his name, Jack Horner, I think was the villain's name. And then somebody texted in, he is very much like Wreck-It Ralph, and he is wrecking it. And he does look like Wreck-It Ralph, because Ralph also has kind of the gap in between his two front teeth.
Oh, okay.
So if you do a side-by-side Patrick Dumont and Wreck-It Ralph, I'm going to wreck it. Yep, that's exactly what he's done to the Mavericks.
And the convergence of, we're going to trade Luka for a sub-market value deal, and then the big piece that you traded for, Anthony Davis, gets hurt, and then you take somebody else in Quentin Grimes and trade him away, and then he shows off while the guy that you traded for still can't really get on the court, and then Daniel Gafford gets hurt and Kyrie Irving gets hurt. It is just, it's a terrible stretch, and you controlled the first couple of things, but then a lot of this stuff has been out of your control, and now we're to the point where I investigated this a little bit more. The idea that the Mavericks might have to just forfeit games. First of all, thumbs up. I support this because I want a better draft pick and an opportunity, even if it's 5%, to draft Cooper Flagg. The NBA has really ridiculous rules about this. All right. So yesterday, the Mavericks used 8 players. There was concern that they would.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be low, as low as 6, but they got up to 8. According to NBA rules, a team must list a minimum of 12 active players for each game, with no fewer than 8 players sitting on the bench in uniform. And I know with a couple of their two-way contracts, they're about to hit the maximum that you can use two-way players, so they might drop 2 more players, and so you're looking at a perilous situation. I will tell you this, the NBA will let you dress injured players to sit on the bench as part of the 8-man requirement for players sitting on the bench, which that feels a little disingenuous. Geez. Hey, you got to have at least 8 people on the bench. What if they're hurt? As long as they got some warm-ups on, you're fine. But you might be in the situation.
Let's let him play.
Yeah, where you're about to be down to six players.
He doesn't have an ACL. It's fine.
You hope Hardy comes back soon. You hope Caleb Martin's back soon. But even the fact that you would have to look up the information regarding this rule is pretty, it's pretty embarrassing. Kessler Edwards can only play for three more games because then you'll hit the maximum of 50 for a two-way player. It's just embarrassing.
And they can't go sign another two-way contract, right? That time's passed. Is that what Bobby Marks was explaining to us?
I believe that is correct. So I don't think it's going to happen, but even the fact that you went from, don't forget, we're in the NBA Finals last year, too.
So insane.
We might have to forfeit games because Luka likes hookah. I know it's more than that, but like that's something that comes to mind. And that's where I think people have a tough time drawing the line. I support the Mavericks. I still like the Mavericks. The best thing for the Mavericks the rest of the season is to lose every single one of their games. And so I don't need to be at the game chanting fire Nico, but if I was at a game, I would probably be rooting for them to lose this season.
And if that lottery ends up happening and the Mavs are able to finally move up for the first time ever and get that number one spot to be able to draft Cooper Flagg,
then I will admit that this was a plot perpetrated by the NBA all along. I know this is something that Mike said about getting all the best players to Los Angeles because you have high hopes for Cooper Flagg, but who the hell knows? I've seen Luka be awesome and take teams to a final. If that happens and the Mavericks get number one and get Cooper Flagg, then I will 100% believe that this was all orchestrated behind the team and the NBA said, take care of this and we'll get you on the other side.
Agreed. I don't know how you couldn't.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway. We got AM and the FM, but also would these sort of splash players move the needle for Cowboys fans? And we might have a couple more cuts for you next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got a handful of players we're going to throw through here. Maybe get your thoughts as well, Mr. Woolchuck. Would these sort of splash players move the needle for Cowboys fans?
Okay.
I understand there's a certain part of Cowboys fandom that thinks that the Cowboys suck and they're terrible at this and they will never, ever, ever be good at any of this. I understand that. Let's see if we can put that to the side for just a second. Fair?
It's fine for me.
Okay.
Because I love them.
Okay, good.
They don't suck. They're just not very good at what they're doing.
That is a fair way. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a contingent now that, like, oh, you're the worst. You didn't get anybody.
Yeah.
First, blah, blah.
No doubt.
All right. Asante Samuel Jr. Does that name do anything for you personally? And do you think it would move the needle for the Cowboys since they should have drafted him in the first place?
I would be interested in Asante Samuel Jr. The one thing is, I believe he's got, if it's a bad back, he might not be available for this year. For a good chunk of it.
That is a concern.
So if he can't play for you, it's like, ooh, what is it worth bringing in? Now, if the medical checks out, I'm all in on that one, for lack of a better word. Why? Because that's going to be a good
Please
addition
don't
for
say
you.
All in.
You need a veteran corner. That's a dude who makes plays on the ball. He can get turnovers for you. I'd be in on that move.
All right. I'm going to stick with corner. Mike Hilton. Now, this is somebody that we had talked about prior to the new league starting, new league year starting. Got it. What do we think about the prospects of Mike Hilton? Because he's still out there, and I know people's like, oh, he could go here, could go here. Mike Hilton, another cornerback with the Dallas Cowboys.
Very good slot corner. Problem is availability as well. And that's why you got these guys.
That's why they're
there,
an option.
Right. So can you bank on health for him? I'd love it. But the guy has not played in, at least started, more than 13 games ever in his career. Last year, he started 10 of 16 games. So if you can get that, I mean, if you go back to 2020 when he was with the Steelers, he was one of the better slot corners in all of football. Since joining Cincinnati, it's been a little up and down. But I do think Mike Hilton could be a low-cost type of signing that allows you, again, to have a veteran presence in that room, and it just helps you when it comes to the draft.
Now, I'm going to combo up a couple of receivers here. One we've kind of talked about, but one
combo
I
it, baby.
I think you are interested in. Stephon Diggs and or Keenan Allen. What does that do for you? What could it do for the fan base?
I'm in on Keenan Allen, and I think that there is a groundswell of Keenan Allen support that I've seen on Cowboys Twitter here lately.
Have you started said groundswell?
I don't think I started it. I think that I saw it prior to us really having that conversation about Keenan Allen, because I thought that he'd be off the market already. I figured Keenan Allen would be able to generate a pretty quick signing, like DeAndre Hopkins went off the board pretty quick to Baltimore. I thought Keenan Allen would get a similar type of deal, but it hasn't happened yet, which makes me now more intrigued. The Dig stuff is always going to be linked because of his brother. And prior to the injury, Stephon Diggs was still playing like arguably a top 10 receiver in football, okay, just by the metrics. When it comes to separation, when it came to one of the things that he was really good at was the comeback routes.
Yeah.
Which Dak Prescott throws a lot of. I don't know. Maybe this
the hell you
maybe
know.
This offense, maybe this offense will change, but at least that would be a good fit there. I do wonder when you put two brothers together, it's one either going to be great, okay, and it's going to work out and they can keep hold each other accountable, keep each other in check, or it's going to be the opposite, where this thing's going to just go AWOL. And now all of a sudden, this is a big problem that you've got on your hands. I also am not sure about the future of Trayvon Diggs in Dallas, how long he's going to be a Cowboy.
We'll get to that in just a second.
Because I do believe that if he were not hurt right now, he would be traded, and the Cowboys would then give Deron Bland all the monies.
All right. Now, one more for you on the potential additions. We'll get to those potential subtractions. Plus, in this segment, we absolutely positively have to revisit a news report that I swear I'd never seen this whole thing in my life to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Aziz, we'll get to that in a minute, all right? Aziz Ojulari. Now we're talking about we're moving back defensively.
Former Giant.
Going with the edge. What do we think about him?
I'd be in on Aziz Ojulari. Now, is he kind of what you've already signed in Dante Fowler?
Okay, and by the way, because we didn't get a whole lot of time to talk about that, what did you think about the Dante Fowler move? Because I know a lot of people were okay when he left. Then he had a big season, and you're like, why did you let him go? What do you think about him being back?
So they signed, you know, when it comes to Solomon Thomas and Peyton Turner, I think Thomas can give you something in the middle, also has some flex at end. But Peyton Turner's a good run defender. So I think when you lose Tank, you're losing a good presence when it comes to run defending. One thing about Peyton Turner, he hasn't shown to really be the pass rusher that he was hoped to be when he was drafted by the Saints out of Houston. So now with Dante Fowler, you know, this is a dude who just came off a double-digit sack season. He was a splash player. He was very much like Brian and I in the post game afterwards, the 2 years Dante Fowler was here, we would compare him to what the Cowboys had with David Irving. Like, anytime he's on the field, okay, it seems like a big type of play is happening with Dante Fowler Jr. So now you've added a guy that's actually going to give you some good pass rushing ability. Maybe you only have him as a pass rush specialist because he did struggle against the run. But Brian's breakdown of him with Washington was an improved player in run defense, which made me excited. So I was happy with what they did because they needed a guy who can really get after the passer, because Marshawn Neyland is a guy that I think is a really good run defender. Peyton Turner, same thing. But are they going to give you a lot when it comes to pass rush? I wonder about that. Fowler now checks off that box, as would Aziz Ojulari. And I'm all for give me as many type of defensive linemen as you can, because I think Philadelphia proved that. When you can go ahead and rotate these guys, keep them fresh, especially throughout a 17-game season, that's valuable to have.
Now, right there, because somebody brought this up from the 920, for the amount of money Tank got compared to the defensive linemen we signed, Dallas got good value and depth. And I know people have lots of fiery opinions about DeMarcus Lawrence just because of what he said after the fact as well. But I think I would be inclined to agree with that. All right. Now, what about cuts? So I'm going to ask you about a few players. Shout out to Blogging the Boys for crunching the numbers on these. Donovan Wilson. Donovan Wilson, I'm just going to tell you potential cap savings. You tell me if you think it's worth it or not. And I realize the techs are going to come in to spend on what. I understand all of that. $5.35 million, or you could have a $7 million savings with a post-June 1st designation. Just remember, you'll eat the difference of that money for the 2026 season.
I think it's worth it because I think at pick 44. Now, maybe other fans wouldn't want to spend a high pick on
Quinn
a safety.
Ewers at pick 44. Did you not hear that?
Quinn's going to, that would be like one of your fifth rounders. You'd be looking at taking Quinn Ewers. He's not going to be a day one or day two pick.
Just some people floated that today.
I know. I saw that's an overreaction, guys. That's not a reality. I don't think Quinn Ewers is going anywhere higher than the fourth round, personally. I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times. I just don't see him going ahead before the fourth round. But this is a safety class where there's some guys I love. Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame flies around. I think he's interchangeable, can play free or strong. Malachi Starks out of Georgia is a guy that's sliding a little bit. Be tremendous value if you were able to get him at 44. Andrew Makuba out of Texas, I'm a huge fan of. Love him and the way he plays. Nick Emmanuori is out of South Carolina, tested through the roof. Physically is everything you want in a safety. I just want a little bit more physical presence because he should be a guy that comes up and really fear should be felt by the opponent. I don't see that violence in the way that he plays, but he's very, very talented. This is a good draft to upgrade at safety. I would like to save that money and draft a safety.
Okay, let me ask you then, because the next person on my list is also a safety, Malik Hooker. $3.75 million in savings. You post June 1st at $5.75 million. And the reason why I want to hammer home where the rest of that money goes, because I think a lot of people magically think that, why wouldn't you always designate somebody as a post June 1st cut? You just save all that money. That money just carries over to the next dead cap year. What do you think about that one? And you don't envision them getting rid of both of them, right?
No, and here's why I would keep Hooker and I would then move on from Wilson. I've got guys already that have a similar skill set to what Donovan Wilson is bringing to the table. I don't have a true free safety on the roster to replace Malik Hooker. I could slide in Wanya Thomas. I could slide in Marquise Bell. And they could fill that role that Donovan Wilson is providing right now. Now, if you get the Donovan Wilson from 2 years ago, and there was a couple of games, I was like, wow, Donovan Wilson is playing incredibly well. The problem is it was just a little Jekyll and Hyde. The consistency wasn't quite there. So if I can save $7 million, and I've already got other safeties that I feel good about that maybe have earned some playing time, and I could also maybe draft a guy that's better than both Hooker and Wilson, I'm all for that.
Damone Clark, that's a $3.4 million savings. By the way, the dead money on that's like, I don't know, $40,000. It's really, really low. Damone Clark has been a name that I feel like has circulated a lot as a potential cut. What do we think about this one? You save $3.4 million.
Kind of surprised they haven't done it already.
I am too.
Right? I mean, they clearly don't have any vision for him contributing because they've already added two linebackers. They signed Jack Sanborn. They traded for Kenneth Murray Jr. So you've got Maris Leofau. You've got three of those guys. I'd assume they probably do end up drafting a linebacker. I've advocated for Teddy Buchanan out of Cal. If he's there in the fifth round, one of my favorite day three possible linebackers. He might go higher than that. I've seen his stock starting to build a little bit, but that's a dude that's sideline to sideline rangy. I love the way he plays, but I think that's a player where if it's not for special teams value, Damone Clark's just not giving you anything, and it stinks because I was super excited about the player, and he's a great dude. I mean, bouncing back from that injury from LSU, we got to interview him a couple of years at camp. He was awesome, but it just hasn't worked out.
And for all the talk of the draft, I just want to make it clear, I'm not discounting any of the runs for players that they're going to go after in the draft. I just would love the Cowboys to be, and wouldn't we all, as fortified as conceivably possible going into the draft where you don't feel like your hand gets forced on this position.
And they've done a decent job at linebacker for that. Because I'm a little bit higher on Kenneth Murray Jr. than I think a lot of other people are. I understand the contract. You're overpaying him.
Yeah.
But I still think he's a productive player. I think he's going to fit with what Matt Eberflus wants to do much more than what they ran in Tennessee. And Jack Sanborn is going to be this year's Eric Kendricks.
Okay. Would you be okay if we still brought back regular Eric Kendricks?
Yeah, I love EK. You kidding me? He was our player show guest last year. Dude's awesome.
Now, we have AM on the FM coming up in a little bit, but in the meantime, it's St. Patrick's Day. I feel like we need to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and tell me how you found this clip, and I have heard clips of this before. I do not believe I've ever seen this news story or anything like that.
Barstool Sports tweets this out earlier today, and I'm watching it, and like some of it was a little like, I don't think that I'd ever seen it before. Some of it was a little bit familiar as it went on, but I thought I was getting ball sacked by something. Then I shared it, and Nick Nepik ends up saying, our old homie here at 105 through the fan, like, is this the first time you've ever seen this before? I said yes.
Me too. Take it away. Okay, so this is an actual news report, news story that actually went out on the air. So we'll probably stop it and start it a little bit. Will we not?
I never got anything. What?
Oh, it's in your DMs. Check your DMs out.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right.
You've got it.
Okay. Man.
You can play it right out. It doesn't swear on there.
Oh, my gosh. But who am I supposed to trust now? Did you not? You didn't really send this over to him.
He's got it. I sent it to him.
All right. Well, we'll
get. It's in the Twitters.
We'll get to that in just a minute. From the 817, I do want to, a couple of these questions are good. What are the Dallas Cowboys going to do with $3 million savings with Damone Clark? They might as well keep him. We kind of talked about this with the overpay.
It adds up.
For CD, I'm already going to presume overpay for Micah Parsons, the overpay for Dak Prescott. And I just mean overpay in terms of when they could have got the deal done. As no reflection on the ability of the player whatsoever, is it adds up. And so Damone Clark on its face, nothing. But if you hit that post June 1st, Donovan Wilson, then that's potentially $10 million in savings right there. And then you could see a viable path in which you could use that, whether you think it's they're going to go after Allen, Ojulari, whoever the player in question might be. I think that's how you could kind of stack up and save that money.
I'm with you, dude. Okay, so this is from 2006.
There's a whole
Wikipedia page about this, this leprechaun that was found in a tree in the neighborhood of Mobile, Alabama, and it's generated its own cult following, but today was the first I ever heard of said story.
Now, let's clear something up real quick. Did you put for tomorrow when you sent this to Alec?
I did, because initially I thought we were going to do it tomorrow, and then you made a great point. It is St. Patrick's Day today, so why not just play it today?
Take it away, news people.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Creighton area of Mobile say a leprechaun.
Pause it right there.
A leprechaun.
Alec, I told Gavin Dawson this once before. If you ever have some sort of weird encounter and you need somebody to help you out, but not really ask a whole bunch of questions because you don't have time for all of that, I'm your guy. All right. It's probably because I've watched too many horror movies or whatever. But if you tell me that you have to like get the curse of the Sphinx lifted or whatever, I'm not going to bog you down with nonsense questions. I'm going to say, what do we do and where do we need to go? So I'm just telling you, if this comes up and you're trying to say I saw a leprechaun, come to me, because I think there's a better shot that I'll believe you than many people.
That's a real friend right there.
There you go. Go ahead.
Residents in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Creighton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in a tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Eyewitnesses
Pause. Hold on.
Say yeah!
First of all, shout out to that guy for still doing his serious lower news voice.
Oh, yeah.
Even though knowing that's the first interview he was going to deploy. So props to him for doing that. Go ahead.
The leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like.
Okay.
Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff.
And it pause.
It could be a crackhead.
Again, the sequencing of these interview guests is perfect.
Yeah, it is.
So, maybe it is leprechaun, maybe it's not. The next two theories that are presented, it's the shadow of another limb from the tree, or it's a crackhead in the tree. So now the three theories we've come up with are it is a leprechaun, or it's a shadow, or it's a crackhead. These are very divergent theories. Go ahead.
In a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're going to get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish.
Stop, stop, stop,
special
stop,
leprechaun
stop.
Flute.
Where the hell was this guy to warn us about all of this? He just said, this special leprechaun flute has been passed down for thousands of years. You didn't think to give anybody a heads up? And does the leprechaun just go where you are? Are there leprechauns everywhere that we're just not aware of? I don't know, but I feel like that guy let us down by not giving us a heads up that there might be a damn leprechaun around
here. There might be.
Back to the news report.
Wow.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
Stop.
This is.
Stop.
I want the gold.
Stop.
Give me the gold.
If you think it's a leprechaun, you at least need to familiarize yourself with what the stories are. All right? The pot of gold is at the end of the rainbow.
Uh-huh.
It's not necessarily buried under the tree where the leprechaun is, all right? That is just inaccurate. Secondly, did that guy actually bring a backhoe there? Because at this point, why the hell not just dig it up? I don't think the gold's going to be there, but is he really willing to invest the amount of money needed to either bring his A, backhoe over there, or B, rent a backhoe in hopes that he'll cash in on the other side with this magical pot of gold?
It's a lot of backhoeing.
Oh, man. Could be a crackhead. All right, finish it up. That's what that lady said.
It could be a crackhead
That's
in the tree.
That's what that lady said.
It could be a crackhead in the tree. It could be.
Back to the news.
It's Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing out there.
Who did that? I want to know who sketched that.
I don't know. Maybe Brian sketched
doodling.
That was a good...
Now,
doodling. He's just doodling this leprechaun.
What I don't care for right here, that news lady. She's a little high and mighty right there. Don't pretend like you wouldn't climb in a tree for a pot of gold.
Yeah, we would.
All right. Now, if you don't believe it, that's one thing. But when she says people will do anything for a pot of gold, if you knew there was an actual pot of gold there, hell yeah, I'm going to do that.
Incredible.
I don't care if there's a crackhead in that tree or if it's just a limb or whatever. I'm making a run for it. But that's only if it's any of those other things. Because if it's an actual leprechaun, I don't know if you've ever seen Leprechaun. Leprechaun 2, Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in the Hood, Leprechaun in Space. I think they made a second Leprechaun in the Hood. I have not seen that. But the very first one...
You saw the others?
Oh, yeah. I've seen at least four Leprechaun movies, including the one where he's in space and in the hood. Although I'm pretty sure on the box it says the, T-H-A, as opposed to T-H-E. I'd have to double check that. And do you know who was the co-star in the very first Leprechaun movie?
Danny DeVito.
No, that makes sense, though.
Peter Dinklage.
Jennifer Aniston.
What?
Jennifer Aniston is one of the leads in the movie Leprechaun.
Wow.
Just like Courtney Cox was in the live-action He-Man movie. Look it up, kids. All right, now...
Look it up, kids. You might find a pot of gold.
It's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
It is time for AM on the FM, but if we're being honest, how do I even follow that up?
Alec,
that's tough.
I didn't know it was going to go that way. I just had lots of thoughts, and then it has led to... My favorite text that I've seen all day from the 817. Kevin's going to look really dumb when the news says that guy did find gold underneath the tree. I'll own it. I'm pretty sure this happened like 20 years ago, but I will own it if they said they found a pot of gold underneath
the
tree.
Like, I was today years old when I found this video. Maybe I just, you know, I've slept since then, or it could be weed, one of the two. But my goodness gracious, this is a gold video, and you're right. Like, this is 20 years old. 2006 is when this came out. But I think we should celebrate this now every year. There should be a new tradition.
A tradition, absolutely.
From the 214, Leprechaun in the Hood is a cinematic masterpiece, only beat out by Soul Plane.
Or Pootie Tang.
This is the dumbest sequence of events.
Because it doesn't matter where you go, people think that they can defeat the Leprechaun. It's the same thing with Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Jason Part 10 is Jason in space. And they're like, oh, we're advanced and we can take down this old-timey killer. But you can't.
You can't.
And you didn't.
It's like Chucky.
Yeah. I've watched every Leprechaun movie against my will. My dad is obsessed with them, so he made me watch them growing up.
And that's one thing.
I've seen all of them.
Going into a horror movie scenario, you need to be prepared that things might not go the way you think. Like, sure, have I seen the Chucky movies and the TV show? By the way, the TV show is fantastic.
Oh, is it?
And okay. Think, that doll's running at me, I could just kick him out of the way. Yes, I have thought that. But that's flawed logic that's going to get you killed. You need to be prepared for all the ins and outs and possible things that could happen in these.
I think we learned in Small Soldiers, it's not that easy.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
These little toys are crafty.
Yeah.
And you think you can step on them, but no. They're going to find a way to get you.
877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. If you want to tell us if you've ever seen a leprechaun or if you want to answer my question of the day, I'll leave that up to you. At this point, Twitch and YouTube want to hear from you as well. And a story from yesterday about how bullying worked.
Oh, no. Yeah. Do we want to promote that?
I'm not advocating for it. I'm just telling you how it worked one time.
I'm not advocating, but it did work.
It helped one of our teammates make some money. Okay. Possibly a lot of money.
No, I'm all for that.
Definitely a lot of money. I know this story.
We'll get to that in a second. The question of the day is kind of in that same vein. When was the last time that luck was really on your side and something awesome happened that the odds were ridiculous of this something of this caliber actually happening? 877-881-1053, because I think of a few things. You know, I remember like growing up, I was big, like I was the dork growing up in school that actually listened to radio. And I won a few like call-in giveaways up for just like some little like, you know, swag packages that they would mail to you. And I thought I was the coolest dude on the face of the planet because I won some stickers and stuff like that and like stuffed animals and little gift baskets and whatnot. But for me, there's honestly nothing crazy that I've won or like a contest that I've entered or, you know, I won a drawing for anything. I have friends that won those like cruises from Disney Channel that, you know.
Won a couple of those kind of cruises. Yeah.
Like you just enter an email on the website and they got an email back a year later saying, hey, congrats, you're going to Cabo or whatever, you know, on a Disney cruise line.
If you saw that today, would you think that's like spam?
A million.
Like this
percent.
Is fake. I didn't actually win this and you probably would never capitalize.
What percentage of people have deleted a winning email?
Because
there's like, no.
Because especially if you're that far removed from it, I'd be like, oh, this isn't real.
Yeah. I at this point, if I get any kind of email that is like uber specific to me, I'm like, this can't be real. Like, I just got an email today saying, like from USPS saying you have a package on the way. I was like, I've never gotten an email from them that says that. But I clicked on the tracking link and everything and it's real. I'm like, since when have they emailed me directly to say the sender wanted you to have tracking information? So here it is. Mm. I'm like, huh? Okay. So at first I was like, this is spam. I'm going to delete this, but no, the link actually worked. I'm like, okay, that's weird. So yeah, I've gotten to the point where if I get any kind of, especially like those emails and texts that say they're from TxDOT, I'm like, I've been getting those like crazy. And I actually use the toll roads now. I'm sorry, TNP, rest in peace. Me and him, we swore we would never use toll roads because they're a scam. But
they are.
I have to drive to Frisco a lot more nowadays. So I'm like, I'd rather, you know, it'd be a 38-minute drive than an hour-long drive.
Look, we all have things that we believe in until they're really put to the test, especially by this DFW traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'll pay it. I don't care.
Man, we did get a text. It was the 817. I won $3,500 when Amanda Nunes got knocked out.
Oh, that was a savvy
bet.
That's
incredible. Now, I did win a few hundred when Michael Bisping knocked out Luke Rockhold.
Oh,
and this
okay.
was probably like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think Bisping was like a fill-in opponent, and he was not supposed to win.
And he won the title.
And then he just KO'd him in the first round. So I won big off of that. That's probably the best I've ever been able to win.
Let's see. From the 469, won a blow dart gun because I hit a bullseye with one.
Oh.
So you got the skill. That's a flex in itself that you hit a bullseye, but they gifted you at the same time. That's pretty cool.
The 972 says they won $500 from that Taco Bell sweepstakes on their receipt.
No.
Whoa, that's awesome.
That's incredible.
I think the receipts are something you can win off of because people are so apt to like trash them or not pay attention to them or whatever. So if you're reading the fine print, it could be your day.
What about like McDonald's Monopoly and those like special offers they've got?
Yeah.
So I'm really going to age myself. Coca-Cola used to do a thing with caps where it was like, you got Super Bowl 24. And if you completed one of the rows, like 1 through 5, all the way to 21 through 25, I legitimately thought we had won $25,000 because in addition to the caps, if you bought like a 12 pack or a 24 pack, they had them printed on the inside and you had to like cut them out.
Okay.
So all we needed was Super Bowl 22. Cut out the top. It said Super Bowl 22. I was trying to convince my mom that we had won $25,000. She is not like me. She did not immediately believe that we had won all this money. Went back, found the rest of the case where you can see that I definitely cut in too much and cut off one of the ones.
No.
So it was just another Super Bowl 23 that we got, at which point I'm pretty sure I said we should just try to send it in anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think that's my mom supported that idea, but I really thought we had won $25,000.
You just unearthed a memory that I forgot I had from high school. Back, I want to say it was like my junior year of high school. Whenever we would be en route, we had, like a secondary campus, a career campus. That's where I took the radio classes with Nate Wood. So we could drive ourselves there. We would go get lunch all the time in between because we had like an hour and 20 minutes to burn. So we would go to Cane's all the time. And they were doing the peel off on the cups. And if you spelt out the word Cane's, you got something like $200,000.
Oh my gosh.
And all of my radio classmates, we swore we were going to buy a radio frequency with whatever money
we got.
And we were going to start our own station. We were like, yeah. And we knew it was never going to happen.
That would be so much fun, though.
We had Cane's spelt out except for the C, right?
Okay.
I had the C. I left it in my pocket and put it in the washer.
No, you didn't.
And it was ruined.
Oh.
It was gone forever. I swear I had the C.
What the
Not
hell?
Making it up. I thought it was going to be one of those that, like, there's always one or two letters that are super common that you're going to get all the time, right? I swore for whatever reason, I was like, C is going to be the one you get all the time. So I was like, I'll get another one. I'm not worried about accidentally watching that. We got the rest of the word spelt out. We were missing the C, and it turned out the C was the super rare letter.
And I know now everyone will be like, hey, just hit a Reddit form or whatever. But there was a time when that was not available to you.
Oh, for sure.
And like, did you go around going, hey, you have the C? I really need it. Like,
hey, guys, come on.
I was just up in that tree.
I've got an E. I've got multiple E's, but I just need a C.
Let me ask the local leprechaun if he's got one.
Yeah.
You know, go climb up a tree real quick and see. And I asked this because our guy James Shrightley and I, we went to the Dallas Card Show yesterday. And it was both of our first times ever going.
It was
overwhelming. Yes, thank you.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It was awesome seeing some of the stuff that was on display and not exactly for sale. Some of the stuff that was for sale that you're like, how does one even acquire this? And how do you acquire this much money? Like, insane. So we're about to leave. I had bought a couple of boxes of WWE Select. I bought a couple of cards, too, of some people that I'm collecting. And James was like, I got to catch up to you. I haven't spent enough. And I was like, get some baseball. He's a big baseball guy. So he bought some Topps Chrome. I think it was 2021. And he was like, I don't know if I should do it. It's a little bit more than it is on eBay, but I could get it right now. And I was like, stop thinking and start doing. I peer pressured the hell out of him to buy that hobby box.
Stop thinking.
And he finally said, all right, I'm going to buy it. He bought it. We rip it in the car and he pulls a one of one super fractor of Oswald Peraza.
You sent us that picture yesterday. It's amazing.
A one of one rookie card super fractor of the New York Yankees prospect Oswald Peraza. What are the odds of that happening? He paid $70 for the box.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he beat the books.
That's incredible.
With the Dallas Card Show. His first time ever going. My first time ever going.
And luck.
He pulls a one-of-one super fractor. It is ridiculous. And we stopped by RJ Duke's setup before he even bought the box. And one of the guys was telling him, he's like, hey, maybe you'll get some beginner's luck. You know, first time coming here, maybe you'll get something cool if you buy a box. And he was like, yeah, I'll think about it. He circles back around to a different table. He buys the second to last box of 21 Topps Chrome.
Man.
And it's his special. He loves the beat up boxes. It had a big dent right in the middle of it. One-of-one super fractor.
So we don't want to encourage bullying on this show.
No, not at all.
This is one instance where I guess it did work out.
Would this be more pure pressure?
We gotta go, Zach.
Pure pressure.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, right here on 105.3 The Fan because it's your segment. Coming up next.
We're doing that.
The top 10 in honor of the Bengals, best wide receiver tandems of all time. Next on The Fan.